You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Two dead bodies. No, make that three, four, five dead bodies. And now another shooting in the head. Got to be talking about the South Carolina legal dynasty, the Murdoch family. Well, the water gets even muddier in the last hours. The heir to all that money and all that prestige is shot himself in the head while he's out changing a tire on a very obscure rural route. I checked that route. He was certainly taking the long road.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I am talking about the father, Alex Murdoch. According to him, in the wake of the shooting death of his wife and his young son, he suddenly is shot in the head while he's out changing a tire. Now, you know, a lot of people may say, wow, that's a coincidence. Alex Murdoch is shot in the head just like his wife and his son. There is no coincidence. With me, an all-star panel to make sense of it all. And this, with the new revelation that reportedly Alex Murdoch's firm has hired forensic accountants, and they are hot on the trail, sniffing down over $1 million misappropriated by Alex Murdoch. Now, some people might say embezzled or even stolen. I haven't heard those words thrown around yet, but let's just start at the beginning. Take a listen to this.
Tonight, we are following a developing story out of Hampton County. According to his lawyer, Alex Murdoch has been shot in the head. His lawyer telling us earlier today, Murdoch was changing a tire when a motorist drove past him, then turned around and opened fire. We're told he's been airlifted to MUSC and that he is currently conscious and breathing. Back in June, Murdoch's wife and son were killed in a double homicide in Colleton County. The shooting now being investigated by SLED.
For those of you that don't know, SLED is South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. You are hearing our friends at WCIC News 4 Charleston. Take a listen to our friend at ABC, Eva Pilgrim.
Alex Murdoch was changing a tire on the side of the road in rural Hampton County Saturday when a car passed him, turned around, and someone shot him in the head. He was airlifted to a hospital in Charleston. We are told he is conscious and speaking. Murdoch's brother was sitting down with us back in June.
Do they have any enemies?
I really don't know of any enemies. You hear all this talk on the, you know, social media with regard to Paul, but I don't know of anybody that would truly, be an enemy or truly want to harm them.
First of all, Susan E. Williams joining us out of South Carolina. She's a criminal defense attorney there, former prosecutor, and you can find her at swilliams-law.net. Dr. Angela Arnold, renowned psychiatrist, joining us out of the Atlanta jurisdiction. You can find her at angelaarnoldmd.com. Professor of Forensics, Jacksonville State University, author of Blood Beneath My Feet on Amazon, and star of a new hit series, The Piketon Massacre on iHeart, Joseph Scott Moore. Morgan. Matt Harris joining us, host at WLNK Charlotte and podcaster of the Murdoch Family Murders, Impact of Influence at 107.9, The Matt and Ramona Show. Matt Harris, does the web get any more intricate or tangled?
It is amazing how this story continues, and then Saturday afternoon, you hear about him being shot, and then Sunday it comes out that the money was missing, or first comes out the rehab is going to happen, and then it comes out about the money missing, and it becomes really all that more confusing, like even looking at the photos from the scene, and now they could have moved things, but there's not a tire out, there's no tire iron. There's no sense that his new Mercedes was having a tire changed. Now, things could have been moved, but still the marks, the numbers that the that SLED had put up, the investigators had put up for where they saw casings or some sort of evidence, those were still there. So it's a real big mix of questions.
You know, Matt Harris, I was looking to you for some answers, but in this situation, I don't think we've got any answers, not yet anyway. One thing that I observe, let's just go through his story. For those of you just joining us, the heir to a legal dynasty, Alex Murdaugh, took a bullet to the head, according to him, this weekend, broad daylight on a very obscure rural route leading from Varnaville, I think, to Charleston. Now, the route he was taking is not the most direct route. Let me go to Susan E. Williams joining us, South Carolina lawyer. What do you know about the route he was taking, and why would he go on such a long and circuitous route when you could go from A to B? Why go all the way around to get to B, Susan?
What we know is that that route is extremely rural. It is extremely private, and it is extremely secluded from, it's not a busy highway.
It's not. And you know what I noticed, Susan Williams? Everybody, Susan Williams is joining me, South Carolina criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor, I might add. Susan, you know what I noticed? And I've just gotten back in the studio. I've been back and forth and back and forth to South Carolina, in Savannah when he got sent to Memorial Medical. That route, as far as the eye can see, from where Alex Murdaugh's black Mercedes SUV was parked on the side of the road, as far as you look down, there's not really a curve in the road. You're not going to be surprised by anyone suddenly coming around the curve and disturbing you. In either direction, I couldn't see a curve. In other words, he would have had a bird's eye view. Susan, let me throw this to Joe Scott Morgan. Joe Scott, you're the forensics expert joining us today. Another thing I noticed, according to him, Alex Murdaugh, who's now being reportedly kicked out of his law firm that I think his ancestors founded. Then he said he resigned. Now he's in rehab, but won't tell us what he's in rehab for. You know, I'm fine with that. That's none of my business. I just know that every Hollywood star I've ever known, when they get into trouble, they suddenly go to rehab. Anyway, he's in rehab. My point is, he said, Joe Scott Morgan, that a truck came by him. This is the way I understand it, Matt. Jump in, Matt Harris, if I got it wrong. Circled back, did a U-ey, came back and took a shot at him. It's asphalt. There's no way they can get a tire tread from that unless he took a wide U, if he even existed, to try to get some tread. I also noticed, Joe Scott, that SLED was out in the weeds. I mean, weeds up 2-3 feet tall with metal detectors. So I guess they're looking for a bullet or a cartridge. Jump in.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing, Nancy. Back to the thing about the tire tread here. You're not going to be able to recover anything off of asphalt unless, you know, the individual applied brakes and came to a screeching halt, or, you know, maybe burned out in that area, which doesn't sound like it's the case.
Joe Scott, look, I believe in modern science, but I don't know what you're going to get from a skid mark other than a skid mark. I don't know if you can really match it up to a tread, but it doesn't sound like there was any skid. Sounds like the person, if they existed, did a U.
No, it's a red herring. That is. Now, as far as them out in the weeds, yeah, that's what they're doing, Nancy. They're looking for a spent cartridge casing and maybe this projectile that he was allegedly.
Why do you talk like that? Just say it. A bullet. A projectile. A bullet. The bullet that skinned his head.
That did. And they're saying that this injury is superficial. And when you say superficial to me, Nancy, in the context of a gunshot wound, what that's telling me is that this could potentially be some type of graze injury, that it's non-penetrative. So I'm wondering, I have
a
lot of questions.
He's got a cut on his head. And they airlifted him for a cut.
Kind of looks like a groove when you see these graze injuries. It kind of looks like a groove that kind of burrows down and leaves a furrow in the side of the tissue. Now it can go down to bone, but most of the time it just grazes top of the skin. You'll have an abraded area. It almost looks like a, like you see when you get a skin knee or something, and it'll have definite width to it. So it'll give you an idea of kind of the dimensions, but I'm interested in the orientation. Where was this individual relative to this fellow when he was shot? Was he looking him in the eye?
Hey, wait a minute. As I have to instruct witnesses on the stand and my two twins, use proper names. He, they, them. Let's refer to Alex Murdaugh and the shooter, if one exists. How do I know they're not out in those woods looking for a weapon? How do I know Alex Murdaugh didn't shoot himself and fling the weapon somewhere?
Well, Nancy, I also want to chime in real quick, if I can, about the tire tread, because that road, and you know from being down there, that those roads are just two lane, very small. If it's a decent sized truck, the odds of you making that turn and turning around without going into off of the road is pretty slim.
So if this vehicle existed, Matt Harris, WLNK, you're telling me that he would have had to go off the asphalt to do the UE. But you know what else I noticed, Matt? Right there where it happened, the weeds start about maybe 3-4 inches off the asphalt. Let me just give everybody a picture. So it's a two lane, which I think Matt or Joe Scott told me. It's just one lane going that way, the other coming this way. It is not wide at all. About 2 or 3 inches of sandy dirt on either side, and then the weeds come up. I hear what you're saying, Matt. For him to, the shooter, to do a UE, he'd have to pull out onto that sandy soil, and there may be a tread. A little bit, but maybe a tread. I think you're right.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing a 3-point turn and staying on the asphalt out there with a truck.
Mm-mm.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
You know, another thing I was thinking about, Matt Harris, and I know this is highly unlikely. Joe Scott, Susan, Dr. Angie, everybody jump in if you've got a better idea. This is, as we keep saying, a very rural, obscure, remote road, which if you're in a hurry, you would not have taken to get to Charleston from Varnville. But maybe he just wanted to sightsee that day. What I'm wondering, Matt Harris, at either end, when that road intersects, dead ends, do we have any type of a red light, a stop sign that may have a traffic cam? I doubt it. I'm just curious, because that could tell me who's pulling in and out of that very long stretch of road.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but I think that's pretty doubtful.
That's a negative. Okay, well, I had to ask.
Susan, I wanted to say that, you know, it's a rural private area. This is not a place where we see a lot of Ring cameras or, you know, homes that have some footage. It's very private, secluded.
Are there even any homes? I didn't see any. It just looked like farmland to me, Susan.
Looked like a lot of woods to me, and a very narrow road, barely a two-car road, two-lane road, barely. So narrow.
Highly doubtful. Matt Harris, were there any? I didn't see any homes.
Yeah. They're you not in that specific area. Further down the road, like, I don't know, maybe a couple miles or a mile or something, you start to see some things. There's a church that's not too far from there as well.
Wait, what church is that?
Let me pull up my notes here. It is it's at one of the intersections where he should have or could have turned to go to Charleston, but he ended up not making that turn because...
What church?
I'm efforting.
I would think... Yeah, I wonder who made that up. I'm efforting that. I don't know that that's real, but everybody in TV says I'm efforting that. So, okay, effort. I bet you anything that church has got to have some kind of surveillance. And what we would do with that, Joe Scott, is... try to get surveillance that's on the road to see who, what truck was going by around the time Alex Murdaugh was shot. What about that?
And you know what else is cool about this, Nancy?
Can find something cool when we've got five bodies. Let's say you've got Maggie Murdaugh, the wife. You've got the son, Paul, the troubled son, Paul, who is facing a criminal trial in the death of Mallory Beach in a couple of days. You've got the house, the helper, Miss Satterfield. You've got Stephen Smith. I'm missing somebody. I know there's an... Oh, Mallory Beach. Yes, that's the fifth person. And I'm not accusing them of murder. I'm saying all these deaths are connected to the same family. Now, you know who we haven't heard much from, Matt Harrison? I know we're getting off the subject of the Alex Murdaugh getting shot, but not a word from Buster. That's the older son who's away at school, right?
No, he's not away at school. Buster is done with school. Buster, I've been told, was living with one of a family member. He was in Rock Hill, South Carolina for a while, but lately he has been...
You know what? That's what I had in my mind. He's in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And for some reason, I thought he was having an extended 4 years. Hey, nothing wrong with that. So he was not in school, but where is he now? Is he back in the area? Is he back in South Carolina?
I know that, yeah, I've been told he's living in Hampton now. He's been with his dad. And his dad and him have been living in one of his uncle's house for a little bit now.
Who, Randy?
I'm trying to think if they're Randy or John Marvin's. Randy, of course.
Because is it Randy Murdaugh? Is his last name Murdaugh?
Randy Murdaugh, yeah.
Because he keeps popping up. He keeps popping up because I noticed that, you know, Stephen Smith, the young man that was killed, many people think because he was gay. I don't know that. I believe Randy Murdaugh had something to do with coaching his baseball team, his Little League baseball team. And he keeps popping up in public statements as Randy was there. The night Mallory Beach was killed, Randy Murdaugh went to the hospital. So he is about and around, kind of buzzing around all these scenes.
Randolph went to the hospital, which is the grandfather of Paul.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. There's too many
Randolphs. He's now deceased also.
Yeah, you're right, Susan Williams. The father, the grandfather, is dead. Guys, take a listen to our friend Justin Beagle at 5 WCSC.
New information on the shooting of Alex Murdaugh in Hampton County. According to the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, or SLED, Murdaugh called the Hampton County Dispatch at 1:30 Saturday afternoon. In that call, SLED says Murdaugh told dispatchers he had been shot on Old Sakahatchee Road near Varnville. According to SLED, Murdaugh was flown to Memorial Health University Medical Center in Savannah for a superficial gunshot wound to the head. They say officers were called in to lead the investigation by the Hampton County Sheriff's Office. The shooting of Alex Murdaugh comes nearly 3 months after his son and his wife were both found shot in Culloden County.
To Dr. Angela Arnold, renowned psychiatrist, joining me out of the Atlanta jurisdiction at angelaarnoldmd.com. Dr. Angie, if I may be so bold as to call you that, Dr. Angie, it would have been 3 months to the day on the 9th. As I recall, the original shootings... Oh, hold on. Thought. I want to circle back to Joe Scott and Matt Harris after I speak to Dr. Angie. You know, I've just noticed in some accounts, it refers to Maggie and Paul, the young, troubled son, as being dumped. Their bodies dumped by the kennels. Which is a new twist. We've thought all along that they were shot out by the kennels. But it's a whole nother can of worms if they were shot elsewhere and dumped. But back to you, Dr. Angie. Look at this. Now, you know my theory on coincidences in criminal law. But we're almost 3 months to the day. Now, we are now learning that Alex Murdaugh had been kicked out of his law firm a very well-respected law firm that I think some of his relatives founded with the theory that he had misplaced over $1 million. He is now saying, quote, "I've made decisions I regret." The report is he's entering rehab for oxycodone 3 months after his wife and son are murdered. Why does everybody run to rehab?
Well, I'm not going to say anything bad about rehab because rehab helps an awful lot of people. But certainly rehab could be a place that you could go and spend quite a long time there while you're getting your affairs in order. They're not going to kick you out of rehab, particularly if you're paying cash to be there. I hate to say it. So that could be a place where he could go and figure out all of these things that he regrets.
I wonder what he means by that, regrets.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Now listen, I don't want to pile on this guy who's lost his wife and his son, but this whole shooting in the head, that's quite a coincidence. To you, Joe Scott Morgan, why was he on this lonely stretch of road? Why did he get shot in the head, but it was superficial? What can we learn by the location of shell casings or potential bullets? What do we need to examine as it relates to the trajectory path of the bullet that grazed him? Since it did not enter his skull, where is the bullet? Let's just start with those questions right there, Joe Scott.
Yeah, thinking about the trajectory, Nancy, one of the things that comes to mind is, remember what he had said, it was a vehicle that he was
a truck
that he was fired at from. So that would automatically give you an idea that this individual firing the weapon would be at a higher vantage point. So we have a trajectory, apparently, that's going to go from above to below. So firing downward at this individual, at Alex. Okay. So we have to try to understand how far away was he from the shooter, from the potential shooter. Did he pull over to the side of the road? You know, because one story says the individual in the truck asked me if I was having car trouble. That was one quote. Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of obvious if you're on the side of the road and you got a flat tire. Yeah, I got car trouble going on. And then the next thing he remembers is gunshot. So that implies that he was shot unawares, that he just heard the gunshot. So he was looking at the individual when he was fired upon. Remember, he said, "I just heard a gunshot." So that would mean that it was probably coming toward his face. Maybe he went to the left or the right, and it grazed the side of his head. Either way, it would be logical from that position, this projectile would wind up in the ground behind where he would have been positioned relative to the truck. Also, the casing. If the casing from a semi-automatic weapon, that is the spent casing of the fired round, didn't go inside of the truck, which it could inject inside of the vehicle. But if it ejected out, it's probably going to be bouncing around on that asphalt somewhere or really close to the shoulder of the road. That would not be as difficult to find, particularly if you're using a metal detector, which you've already stated that SLED was out there doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the dynamic that you're looking at here. It's pretty clear cut. I find it fascinating, though, Nancy, that this individual sustained a gunshot wound to the head, and yeah, it was superficial, but immediately he got on the phone. He was able to communicate with 911 or whoever
and
it was.
The Randy Murdaugh. He immediately called him as well.
Nancy, I've handled a lot of cases involving a lot of gunshot wounds.
Man, I would be out in those woods if somebody took a shot at me. I would take off running.
So I don't know. There's more questions to be answered.
Nancy, I have the church.
Oh, all right. Hit me, Matt Harris.
St. John's Baptist Church. And I went and looked at a different video, different angle. It's not that far from where he was allegedly shot. I think he was shot in the 1500 block And the church, I think, is in the 2400 block.
Hey, Nancy, if I could, in reference to what Matt is saying in regards to the church and any kind of surveillance, what's really important is we have time that we can connect here because Alex made a phone call at that point in time. With that information that would come off of that phone call, and that's coupled with any kind of surveillance video, you can get an idea as to if a truck passed in front of that church at that particular time. And you could also potentially get an idea if someone in that area was also pinging their phone as well, perhaps maybe a perpetrator.
That's a really good idea. Matt Harris has dug up the name St. John's Baptist Church in the 2400 block. What's the name of the street again?
It's Sakahachi. It's also called Old Route, whatever. So it goes by a different name too, but it's the Sakahachi.
You know, everywhere in the South, the street has multiple names, like Old 41 is also Houston, not Houston, but Houston Avenue. I mean, it goes, okay, gotcha. So the 2400 block of Sakahachi, you know, all of the evidence is very, let me just say, circumstantial right now. But while I was just down in South Carolina this past weekend, just let's say nosing around, one of the local ladies I met at a Jimmy John's said, well, and these are her words, he's not too freaked out about somebody shooting him in the head. I mean, everything he's saying is about bad decisions that he regrets. He's going in the rehab. I'd want to know who shot me in the head. Is that just me?
Nancy, I just want to say I was carjacked at gunpoint and shots were fired and I was in shock. I realized that people, they react to things differently, but I did flee for my life. I ran. I was in a complete state of panic, and there's just no way to gauge how people react. But my personal reaction after having shots fired right by my head was run.
You know, I'm just thinking about thank you, Jackie. Jackie has got me a picture of St. John's Baptist Church. Oh, it's a big church, big brick edifice, big white spire. I guarantee you somewhere on that property, Jackie, there is going to be a video camera somewhere at St. John's Baptist Church. Now, is it working? That I don't know, but that's a pretty substantial church. It's not like the little one that I grew up in, you know, where we had an organ that you pumped with your feet, all right, because my mom played it. So there's got to be some sort of surveillance in that area. And Susan Williams, of course, you're a veteran criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor, no stranger to a courtroom. I would expect this guy to be freaking out. I would expect him to be out in the woods hiding with his cell phone. How he managed to get that, don't know. But he got it and hiding till 911 got there.
Yes. I mean, I'm wondering, did he have a bulletproof vest on?
Well, yes, Susan. What about that, Matt Harris? What Susan Williams is saying, a South Carolina criminal defense attorney. You know, I've heard so many different versions of how he got shot in the head, which I also find very unusual that there's more than one version. But is one of the versions, Matt Harris, WLNK Charlotte, that a person actually said, do you have car trouble? You need any help? Why Alex Murdaugh can't make an identification?
No, yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I just got this text I thought I'd share with you too, that from a paralegal at an attorney's office, and said Maggie was planning a forensic accounting of money.
The wife?
The wife.
Now, wait a minute. Matt Harris, let me understand what you just said. Guys, this, in my mind, changes everything right here. He can allegedly misplace funds from his law firm. That's one thing. They apparently, according to the New York Times, have a forensic accountant on his tail. But are you telling me his own wife had hired a forensic accountant?
That is the word I got from a pretty reliable source just as we were speaking right here.
Okay, that's a whole nother can of worms.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I was told also, Matt Harris, when I was there in the past days, that a lot of money had been moved between Maggie and Alex Murdaugh's accounts. Many people speculating they were leading up to a divorce or were trying to shelter funds in a potential lawsuit or bankruptcy. I mean, a lot was happening. They were getting sued civilly for instance, Mallory Beach, other reasons. So were they trying to shelter money? Were they moving money for an alleged bankruptcy that may happen? Were they about to get a divorce and money was being shifted back and forth for whatever financial reason? But you're telling me you just got information that the wife, Maggie, found dead with a shot to the head, had ordered a forensic accounting of her husband, Alex Murdaugh?
That is what a source tells me. Yes. Just now I got that. Yeah, we know that there was that the civil lawsuits that were going on, and Susan knows this too, that they were working hard to get it moved to, I think it's called maritime law or something like that. So they've been doing a lot of shuffling around to protect their assets as this Mallory Beach civil case started to take off.
Guys, I want you to take a listen to this.
The Murdaugh murder mystery takes another unexpected turn. A family spokesperson says Alex Murdaugh, whose wife and son were shot to death back in June, was shot in the head himself while changing a tire today. An ordinarily quiet Hampton County road turned into anything but on Saturday when Alex Murdaugh, a prominent lawyer in South Carolina, was shot in the head. A family spokesperson says Murdaugh stopped to change a tire on Salcahatchie Road near Barnville when a car passed by him. We're told that car ended up turning around and someone inside then shot Murdaugh. Murdaugh was later airlifted to Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. The spokesperson told us he's now conscious and speaking. The South Carolina Law Enforcement Division was called in to investigate the shooting. Saturday, they could be seen taking photos of evidence and using metal detectors to look for things like shell casings. WJCL reached out to the Hampton County Sheriff's Office as well as SLED to see if they could tell us if any suspects had been identified or arrested. Both are remaining tight-lipped about the incident.
I bet they are. You're listening to Brooke Butler at WJCL 22. Now take a listen to Andrew Davis, WSAV Savannah.
Alex Murdaugh speaking for the first time in weeks, this time from a Savannah hospital bed. The patriarch of the family making big decisions as he recovers from a gunshot wound suffered this weekend. Alex Murdaugh released a statement through his attorney. It says in part, quote, "The murders of my wife and son have caused an incredibly difficult time in my life. I've made a lot of decisions that I truly regret. I'm resigning from my law firm and entering rehab after a long battle that's been exacerbated by these murders. I am immensely sorry to everyone I've hurt, including my family, friends, and colleagues. I ask for prayers as I rehabilitate myself and my relationships." The murders that Alex Murdaugh mentioned are of his son, Paul, and wife, Maggie, who were gunned down on the family property back in June. No suspects have been arrested and named in that case or in this weekend's shooting.
What we know is that the firm PMPED in Hampton, South Carolina, have ordered a forensic accounting for the alleged misuse of funds amounting to, quote, millions of dollars, millions being, quote, squandered. Their words, not mine. Straight back out to Matt Harris, WLNK Charlotte, who was telling us, according to his sources, not only had the law firm ordered a forensic accounting, but Alex Murdaugh's wife had ordered a forensic accountant to get busy. What more do you know, Matt Harris?
That's the main word. I'm waiting on a couple of other possibilities of maybe relationships that Alex had going on.
An affair? Is that what you're getting at?
Now, again, not confirmed, but I was...
Yeah, Matt Harris, can I tell you something? I asked 20 people in the area who was having an affair. Who? And I got so many different stories on both parties. Maggie was having an affair. This one's having an affair. That I couldn't make sense of it all. And I didn't get any one clear thread of any romantic connections. But in my mind, you get killed over love or money. The revenge theory, to me, was always very, very far-fetched, more like something you'd read in a novel. Susan Williams, I mean, you see movies and read stories about, let's just say, the mob doing a hit for revenge. That hardly ever happens in real life.
That's right. I think you usually only see it in the movie. But I wanted to go back to the statement about the potentially missing funds or misappropriated funds. And I found it interesting that in 2016, a lawyer at the Murdoch Law Firm was a person who was on a board, a committee consisting of 12 members of the South Carolina Bar, who is in charge of funding to compensate clients who suffered losses due to the dishonest conduct of the members of the South Carolina Bar who had been suspended, disbarred, or died. I'm not suggesting here anything other than I wanted to highlight that this lawyer was a member of the Murdoch firm and a member of this committee. The loss paid to any one client is limited to $40,000, and the aggregate lifetime total per attorney cannot exceed $200,000.
I mean, just think about it, Susan Williams. Wherever this money was being held, what if the allegations against Alex Murdoch are true, that he had misappropriated millions of dollars of the firm's money? Is it from the firm's account? Is it from an escrow account for car wreck victims, medical malpractice victims? I mean, where did millions of dollars come from? Why didn't anybody notice? And where did all that money go if, in fact, it was misappropriated?
Well, we know that some of their money, I'm not saying the fund's money, the firm's money, I'm saying the Murdoch money, they donated heavily to political campaigns in South Carolina. $110,000 in over 12 years from the Murdoch family members. In addition, the firm donated over $200,000, and they were either loving each of these candidates or generously giving to them.
Can I tell you something, Susan Williams? I've known lawyers from Atlanta all the way to New York City. When there's a judge's race, they donate to everybody running so they can be on their good side when they get on the bench, sad as that may be. Guys, we're getting a lot more questions than answers. I hate that phrase, but it's true in the case of Alex Murdoch, who has been shot in the head in the last hours. He's just entered rehab. We wait as justice unfolds, as the big question remains. Who killed Maggie and Paul? Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.